Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, welcome back to KMOX. Alex Ferrario with you, and now it is time to chat with Jamie Kennedy. He is up at the Helium Comedy Club. Two shows this evening, two shows tomorrow, back in St. Louis. Jamie, man, it is great to have you in studio. How are you?
Bro, good to be back, man.
Yeah.
We've met before.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Well, and it's nice to know that you survived the winter storm here in St. Louis.
I know, all half an inch.
I couldn't believe. When I saw that it got canceled, I just couldn't believe it, but that's how St. Louis works, man. You get a little bit of snow, panic mode sets in.
Yeah, it's I'm still waiting for the snow. But yeah. I don't know. Everything was quiet last night, though.
Yeah.
I will say that.
You were an East Coast guy, though, so this is nothing to you.
Yeah, I've done shows in Canada.
Yeah.
It gets pretty...
But what's panic mode when it comes to snow for you?
I'm probably not being able to get out of your house.
Yeah.
Like, and not
where
having...
it's taller than your door.
Yeah, like, like mad drifts. But, like, that's... Even that, you can figure out a way out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if the store's not open, you don't have food. Other than that, there's no snow.
Yeah. The grocery stores here in St. Louis, when it's signs of snow, when it's dusting.
Is it like empty the shelves?
Yes. There is a line out the door. There's no bread. There's no bread, milk, and eggs, I think, is the joke here in St. Louis. And no joke, they're off the shelves.
Really?
Yeah.
So people freak out.
People go grocery shopping 2 days in advance when they say snow is coming.
But this is, to me, the Midwest, and so I would think you would hit that. I would think you would hit tornadoes. I think natural disasters are something you're used to.
Right. I will say we had a tornado, I want to say it was about 4 or 5 years ago, on New Year's Eve.
Mm.
And I was like, this is new. I don't remember this one, and I'm only 28, so it's very young for me. But that's a new one in the middle of December, but you never know, I guess.
Yeah, that could be scary.
So what's it like, man, being back in St. Louis? The last time you were here, and, you know, we just talked about it off air, there was a pretty memorable moment for you here in St. Louis.
Yeah, that was one of probably my top fivers. I did a show at another club, and this woman didn't, I think I remember this now, she didn't like a joke.
Yeah.
And she was pissed off that I did the joke. And then she was kind of commenting about the joke, and she was with this big side of beef. And of course, he had to be, you know, a white knight instead of like having his own opinions.
Yeah.
And so then I confronted her, and then he confronted me, and then I kind of remember I got crazy with him, and then he was ready to go, and then they like stopped the show.
Is it hard for you to not get crazy with stuff like that? Because that has to happen all the time for you, man.
It's, you know, like, do you ever see that meme of people that say doing joke in 2018?
Yeah.
It's avoiding all the lasers.
Right.
And bend or, like, twister. It's, I mean, you know, people being offended is worse than it's ever been, but...
Yeah.
But that type of stuff, the aggressiveness is not that common, but... Yeah, I mean, I think it's really getting pretty separated, though. Like, people come out, and it's like... They know, like, look, people that, it's making the sides more voracious.
Yeah.
So if you're an anti-joke person, you're going to be like, screw these people, screw these comedy clubs, these comics are saying too much, and they won't go, or they'll get mad, and the people that are so sick of that will come and be like, let's have a raucous time.
Yeah.
So.
See, I don't understand that, though, because, like, comedy is what it used to be. It was relief for people. It was a way to get away from everything and just go enjoy yourself and have fun and laugh. And now it seems like people want to go to comedy just so they can find some type of hot news to post it on that type of person.
You mean, like, kind of put them on blast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to comedy clubs, getting offended. People are doing comedy now.
Yeah.
And they're offended. And that I don't get. I mean, you can't be a comedian and be offended.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's intense, but it's getting better, I would say. But it's just, I don't know, man. People are, and a place they've never been separated.
Yeah. I love the name of your tour, though. Can I say that? Like, it just sets it up for excitement going into it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, I try and, yeah, because I like talk about stuff. Like, I've never had to do this where I talk about stuff and it's like, well, am I allowed to say that? Because I'm, you know,
right.
I don't know. Like, am I going to, because people are now actively getting pissed off in comedy clubs.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is the last line of free expression.
Uh-huh.
But it's being challenged.
Do you find yourself having to, like, limit what you want to put into your stand-up routine? Or do you just not care about that? You just go out there and you're doing stand-up, so it's going to be, I'm doing what I want to do.
Depends. If I can take an idea and make it digestible to the crowd, then that would be good.
Yeah.
If you can do that with anything, if I can figure it out, I'll try it with anything. I mean, but are there things that I don't want to talk about that I feel like I can't? No, because I feel like I can talk about what I want. But are there things that people might not get or I might not know how to explain them to them yet? Yes. Yeah. So that is like, sometimes I'll have to lob some soft balls and then I'll try to throw some hard balls and see if I set it up right.
Good baseball reference too in St. Louis, man. You just you know your crowd already.
Well, I'm trying. But it is like people at comedy, it's like two types of crowds. There are people that just want to escape and be entertained, and then there's people that like want to think.
Yeah.
And you can get those mixes all over.
Can you pick them out, that group out, pretty fast?
Yeah. I mean, it's less traditional type of, like, you know, Helium is a known comedy club, and they've got the best of the best. So I think people they've curated a name and a brand, and they've curated people that want to come out and see comedy. And I think that because of that, people will come out seeking out-of-the-box ideas.
Now, you said, back to the St. Louis event that took place, that was top five. I'm kind of curious what number one is for you. Did it lead to a fist fight?
I mean, I have to think about it. My brain is fried, but I would say that the worst that's ever happened to me was in Canada, and a guy rushed.
Now, that's surprising in itself.
I know.
In Canada.
In Canada. Because it's like, you know, the old saying, it's like, I'm really good in bed. In Canada. You know, I'm really rich. In Canada. It was a guy, and I was saying stuff about him, I can't even say it on the air, and his girlfriend, and I was saying what their relationship was, and he rushed the stage, and it was two huge guys, and they stopped him, and they didn't, and I said, don't throw him out, I'm gonna win him over.
I like that.
He came, he sat back down again, I said stuff again, and he rushed the stage again. And I said, don't throw him out, and it became like a test.
Third time's a charm. Third time,
I said, I'm not leaving the stage until we hug. And the security guards came on stage and watched us hug. And they were ready to break us up, and he didn't kill me.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I like that one. I wanted to make peace.
That's a happy ending, though, with that.
Yeah, and in fact, I would say almost the second craziest one was in Canada, too.
So Canada's the craziest
one. Which is
spot.
The friendliest passive-aggressive place. Where I saw this Native American man, but he wasn't American, he was Canadian. You know, you'd be able to say a couple years ago, an Indian person.
Right.
Who, like a huge, this guy was a big dude. This Russian guy said something. It was a good mix of testosterone.
A lot of culture in there. Right.
And the guy said something, and the other dude didn't say something. And the guy who ran this club just destroyed him, ran over, jacked him up, took him down, drug him out, and half the crowd was shocked. The other half was just waiting for me my next joke. I commented on it for about 6 minutes, and then I just slowly went back into it, and I ended up the show. That was probably the top three, because that was pretty aggressive.
That's incredible. Now, and I told you this off to air, too, that your documentary Heckler was incredible. I loved every second of it. So I'm assuming, because you've been doing stand-up for a while, that has to be something you've been thinking of for a while, right? Because you've seen it all.
Thinking about what? Heckling?
Doing a heckling documentary.
Yeah. I mean, I'm almost ready to do another one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gotten so much crazier in the last 10 years since it's come out.
Why do you think that is?
Social media
Yeah.
Has emboldened people. And
yeah.
And then it virtually happened, so now they think right. it actually can happen. And, you know, you just see people are more I mean, in sports games, you got this guy a couple weeks ago, they're playing the Patriots, and the guy gave the finger right to Tyreek Hill at the Kansas City so aggressively. And it was like, I mean, and he handled it like right. such a gentleman. And it's just like people are nuts. They have, I don't know, man.
That was the guy that threw the beer on him, too.
It was another one.
Yeah.
No, another guy threw a beer.
So there's two of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it has to do with a lot of stuff. It has to do with technology. It has to do with social media. It has to do with virtual reality. Like, people are playing stuff so real, they question their own reality, and they think they did it in a game. They can do it here.
Yeah.
And it's nuts. People are just, they're emboldened, man. And there's, I don't know. I partially like the fact that people are questioning everything. Obviously, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
But the fact that they think they can do everything, that's annoying.
Again, we're talking with Jamie Kennedy. He's at the Helium Comedy Club tonight. Two shows this evening, two shows tomorrow. You can check it out, heliumcomedystl.com. So when did stand-up become something that you wanted to do? Because obviously, you know, I've loved pretty much all the movies that you have been in, and I'm sure you get this all the time. Malibu's Most Wanted is what everybody talks about with you, but
yes.
Scream is also something that I am a huge fan of.
Thank you.
But was acting first for you, or was stand-up first for you?
I think it was just like getting on the board.
Yeah.
You know, like, I came out to L.A. I was working at Red Lobster. I knew I wanted to get in the movies or TV or something. I wanted to be in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I started auditioning, and then when I, like, learned about it, it was like you would audition, and then you would have to wait.
Right.
And I had all this idle time, and then people are like, you know, you got to work on your craft, and then people are always like, you're funny, and that's kind of how I started doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And then I could go up every night.
Yeah.
And I could go up, you know, even if it's three minutes, it was open mics, and I could sign up, and I could actively do it. So it was the act where acting, you had to try to get an audition and you had to try to get a callback, where stand up is like, you can do it.
You're right.
So I did stand up a lot, and then I got some success in acting earlier than I did in stand up. And so the acting made the stand up rise, but I was always doing stand up, mm-hmm. but more known for acting.
Now, I read this, and who knows if this is true or not, but you were your own agent, weren't you?
Yes.
You promoted yourself basically to get into film.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about how it is now for me, but it's probably crazy for people now to have to think how it was, where you didn't talk about yourself.
Right.
You know, it was something called humility. Does that still exist?
I don't think so.
And you were, if you called an agency and told them how great you were, or sent them a picture of your Instagram, look how great you are, people would think you're a nut.
Right.
They would think you're a nut. And I went and I was selling office supplies, telemarketing.
Wow.
And I was getting pretty good at it. And so I decided to sell myself. So I was reading a book on how to sell. And then I applied the same principles to selling products as me. And it said, treat the product as this, treat the product as that. So did a whole thing, created a character. And I called people and I started getting meetings. So it was a complete con job.
So when was... I love that. A complete con job. And it worked.
It was a lie. I mean, it was the only way. I don't know how. I mean, maybe it would have happened the other way, but it was like there was just no way to break in. The barrier to entry was very hard.
That's kind of that business, isn't it? Like, you got to do whatever you can to get into it.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so. I believe that you have to, because everyone's trying to do it.
Right.
And no one wants you to do it. And everyone's trying to block you from it.
Right.
Because, you know. So it's like you have to just make up, do what you can do. And then it's a complete following business. Someone wants you, then someone else wants you. And it's like, why didn't you want me? It's like there's no independent thought.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you have one moment that you felt like was your big break for acting, not for stand-up?
I would say probably I did these commercials, you know. I did these commercials for Vans sneakers, and then that helped me get an agent.
Really?
Yeah, that helped me get an agent, and then I was able to get a couple of guest spots, and then that helped me get movie auditions. And then those were like breaks of like acting, working breaks of like within the town, and then the town talking. And then once I got Scream, I started getting on people's radar. And then when that came out, then people started knowing me famous wise.
Yeah.
And that was like my big break.
Did you feel like that movie was going to take off like it did?
I have to be honest. I thought it was something special. I thought it was interesting. We had a feeling about it. Did I know it was going to be that big? No way.
Yeah. And what about Malibu's Most Wanted? Because that was kind of a movie that started off slow, but it became a cult classic after a while.
Yeah.
Like people flocked to it once it was out, you know?
Yeah. It's one of those movies that was kind of overlooked. I mean, you have to think about it. It came out like the same month as Head of State with Chris Rock.
Right.
Which movie do you remember more?
I remember Malibu's Most
yeah,
Wanted
exactly.
more.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, I remember that at that time, and it was slow repeat, put it on,
yeah.
people quote it, and I thought, you know, hey, I thought it would do what it did, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. Like, I thought, like, okay, this is an early vehicle for me.
Right.
If I can just build a good faith, I'll build up a comedy audience.
Yeah.
So I didn't know. I was hoping it could be even bigger, but it was a cult. Big
yeah, it really was. And, you know, for me, I judge comedy movies by the one-liners. Like, if you walk out of there and you're saying the one-liners with your buddies, that's mm-hmm. when you know it was a successful movie. Do you get those people that still come up to you with the one-liners from that movie?
All the time.
Is it annoying?
No, 90% of it's not. It's 10%.
Just that 10%.
It's like when I'm eating, you know, at Olive Garden and people start quoting at me. They'll be like, what are you doing at Olive Garden? I'm here for the bottomless pasta bowl too, you know?
I just want the salad and breadsticks, man. Yeah. That's what we're all here for.
Yeah.
That's what we're all here for. So, and then one more before we wrap up. And again, Jamie Kennedy here with us at KMOX. He's at the Helium Comedy Club tonight. Two shows this evening, two shows tomorrow. It won't be snowed out. We promise you
yes.
on that one. It's 50 degrees out and sunny.
I know. It's like it's so sunny. God, where is this winter?
Welcome back to St. Louis. It's 55 and perfect out.
Uh-huh.
Moving along, I guess, the Jamie D. Kennedy experiment.
Yes, sir.
That was something that took off as well and became very popular.
Mm-hmm. That was another cult.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it was something I always wanted to, like, do something like SNL-ish, characters that were, like, funny, and where can we make it happen? And
yeah.
So we started to do it in a real... with real setting, and that was kind of like a mix between Hidden Camera and SNL.
That was kind of a mesh between both, though, right? Like
yeah.
acting and stand-up, you got to do both of them.
100%.
Yeah.
It's a total hybrid. It was
That's
really
awesome.
Using my skill sets. And we almost went to distance, and we had like three seasons,
yeah.
and then, you know, it got canceled. But again, that's this little thing that's in a capsule that people
right.
really liked.
Yeah.
You know, and they enjoyed, and it was like a little cult thing. I'm waiting for that big, super, super mainstream one. But.
It's coming. Well, Jamie Kennedy, man, it's all, actually, before I let you go, I got to do this because, so we have Christmas music playing on here in St. Louis now. Obviously, the snow out. A lot of people in St. Louis are premature Christmasers. Are you a premature Christmaser?
A premature Christmasery. no. I mean, people are already canceling Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I mean, the minute... it was 12:01 after Halloween. People were putting up the damn
Christmas lights.
Yeah, I know, turning them on. Yeah,
I feel like Thanksgiving just gets overlooked.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving almost got canceled.
Yeah,
so I know. I'm annoyed that we have to have Christmas this early. It's
yeah,
like, geez, can we get?
Can
through,
you just enjoy the Thanksgiving?
Can we get through Arbor Day?
Yeah. Can't we just celebrate Arbor Day first, please?
it's getting crazy.
Yeah,
I feel like thanks. I feel like, dude, when after 4th of July,
yeah.
Halloween starts.
Right.
I'm not kidding you. And then, like, after Halloween, Christmas, as soon as Christmas is done, it's New Year's. New Year's is right then they go right to Valentine's.
Yep. And then Valentine's is right into 4th of July summertime.
Well, that goes to St. Patrick.
Yeah.
Memorial.
Easter. No, sometimes.
You got Easter, but you also have now... Cervezas, Cinco,
yeah, Cinco
big
de Mayo. Oh yeah, Cinco's
that's
huge.
Taken off.
Yeah, that's just hilarious how that takes off.
It takes off like a place that's never had any Latin culture influence whatsoever. Cinco de Mayo. I was like, what?
North Dakota is just Cinco de Mayoing
exactly.
it up right now.
Exactly.
I don't know, man. Thanksgiving's just so underrated. Because that's where you just get to splurge, right? On
you
everything.
Get to chill.
Yeah.
You get to.
You
eat.
Get to just sit. Watch some football, eat more. It's where it's at.
Yeah.
Everything else is so packed.
It is. But, Yeah, I'll probably just vegetate on Thanksgiving.
Just vegetate?
Yeah.
It's a smart way to go about it.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie Kennedy, man, it is awesome to have you here in studio. It's awesome to have you back in St. Louis. Fingers crossed that nobody tries to start a fight with you tonight.
Yeah.
Because I will be there and that's
come out, man.
Two for two. I don't know if I want to see that. So.
Yeah.
But it's awesome to have you here. Thank you so much and have fun this weekend.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.